Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome again to Anointed and Appointed Word Ministries with Brother Norman Woodard. I am Brother Norman, and I'll be sharing an anointed and appointed word that will change, challenge, and charge your character to make an impact in this world for the kingdom of God and our Father in heaven. I'd like to send special thanks to Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. And they have a program which comes on every Saturday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the name of their program is Turn on the Light Broadcast. Turn on the Light Broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield, which comes on every Saturday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. They're also the assistant pastors and Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International, where their leaders are Archbishop Ruth W. Smith, who is also the founder, and the lead pastor is Bishop Kevin Jones. They have services every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. They also have Sunday school at 9 a.m. And they have Bible studies every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. As Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International. You can also catch them on Facebook and also YouTube. So I thank you once again for calling in. Before we get into the word, we're going to hear a song, amen.
No one will. matter what I used to be. Say this. They might have said that it was cancer. It doesn't matter. Oh, guess who the victory belongs to? Victory belongs.
Victory belongs to you. Victory belongs to him. Victory belongs to him. Victory belongs to him.
Really soft, demand, really soft.
Victory belongs to him. Victory belongs to him. Victory belongs to him. Victory belongs to him.
Crystal.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. I know that song is kind of lengthy, but I wanted it to soak in your spirit. He asked a question in the beginning. Who can stand against the Lord? And then he answered it by saying, no one can. But not only that, no one will. And then he ended it by saying, victory belongs to you, Jesus. If we could just grab a hold of that and live our lives according to knowing that the victory belongs to Jesus. No matter what we're going through, no matter what we're facing, the victory belongs to Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Well, thank you once again for calling in. We're going to get into the word, amen? Coming out of the book of Philippians, the second chapter, starting at verse 5. Philippians, the second chapter, starting at verse 5. I'm going to read it in the King James Version, and then I'm going to read it in the Amplified Bible to give us a better understanding of what it said. Amen. Philippians 2nd chapter, starting at verse 5, and it reads, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. We can even make that personal and say that he was made in the likeness of me. Glory to God. Said he was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, glory to God, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now we're going to read it in the Amplified Bible. It says, let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility. Let Jesus be your example in humility. We see a lot of pride going on today. Verse 6 says, who although being essential, spiritually one with God and in the form of God, possessing the fullness of the attributes which make God, God, did not think this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained, but stripped himself. That word stripped, it speaks volumes to me, because in my profession, there's one thing that has to be done when someone first enters the building. They must be stripped, meaning everything that they have is taken from them. Their clothes, their personal property. And sadly, but their identity, because they move from a name to a number. So I wanted to point that out. Verse 7 says, but stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignity, so as to assume the guise of a servant, a slave, in that he became like men and was born a human being. And after he had appeared in human form, he abased and humbled himself still further and carried his obedience to the extreme of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, because he stooped so low, God has highly exalted him. Therefore, because he stooped so low, God has highly exalted him and has freely bestowed him the name that is above every name. Whatever the name is, whatever the sickness is, whatever the disease is, whatever the sickness is, says he has freely bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that in and at the name of Jesus, every knee should and must bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue frankly and openly confess and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. Who can stand against the Lord? No one can. No one will. To the glory of God the Father. The title of the message this morning is Believe on the Name of the Son of God. Believe on the name of the Son of God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you once again for allowing us to come before you, God, to sit at your feet, to lay on your bosom, to hear and feel your heartbeat, God, to dwell in your presence. Father, we thank you for sending your Son Jesus thank you for sending your son, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for sending your son, Jesus. Now, Father, as we receive your message, help us to apply it to our lives, to walk in this earth as ambassadors for Christ, as kings and priests, as victors, knowing that we are more than conquerors through Christ. And it's all for your glory, God. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Believe on the name of the Son of God. Let's go to St. Matthew, the first chapter. I'm going to do some establishing before we get into the meat. Amen. Yesterday, I call it putting clouds up in the clear blue sky. For those of you who don't understand, I'm a smoker. I don't just grill, but I love smoking my meat. Amen. So to me, the most exciting thing about grilling is the preparation of it. I love prepping the meat, putting seasoning on it. Cleaning. Putting that personal love into it, spending time with it, just preparing the meat before it goes on the grill. That's what I get excited about. Not just grilling the meat, but preparing it. So I said that to say this: we're going to lay this foundation to prepare the meat of the word. Amen. St. Matthew's, the first chapter. We're going to start at verse 18. And it reads, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph." Now, espoused doesn't mean married. They were engaged. So they weren't married at the time, but it says, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, before they came together, it doesn't mean that before they were married. No. It's before they had sex. It's one thing to have a child, as we may say, out of wedlock, but it's another to have a child without having sex. That's a whole nother message, but I just wanted to point that out. Says she was found with child of the Holy Ghost, not of Joseph, because they hadn't come together yet. They haven't had sex yet. But it was of the Holy Ghost. As we pointed out last week, sexual intercourse is not just a physical act of having sex. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, because in that day, in their culture, because her and Joseph were engaged to be married, and to his and everyone else's knowledge, she was a virgin. So for her to become pregnant, to the natural mind, something physically had to happen. But because of the type of man that Joseph was, it says that he was not willing to make her a public example. He didn't want her to be found out, because the penalty or the judgment for that was to be stoned to death. So even this showed the love that he had for Mary. And it says, he wasn't willing to make her a public example, but was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took upon him his wife. Now they're married. And knew her not, even though they were married. They didn't consummate the marriage by having sex. Said, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. Not their firstborn son, but her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Now, it says something in there. It says, verse 21, says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now that prophet that was mentioned is the prophet Isaiah. So let's go to Isaiah, the seventh chapter. Isaiah 7th chapter, starting at verse 13. And it reads, and he said, hear ye now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men? but when ye weary, my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. And this is the sign that the Lord shall give you. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. So that's the prophecy that was mentioned in St. Matthew's. And Joseph, he was a devout man. He was a man of the temple. He studied the word. He knew the word. So that's why the angel reminded him of the word and said, "This is that which the prophet Isaiah had spoken of." Said, "This virgin shall bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel." So that's why Joseph did what he did, by protecting Mary, because he knew the word of God and he believed the word of God. And he knew at this moment the word of God was being manifested. Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Now let's go to St. Luke, the first chapter. Starting at verse 26. And it reads, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin, a spouse to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." There's that prophecy again. And verse 32 says, "He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Now, this prophecy that was mentioned is in Isaiah, the ninth chapter. Let's turn there. Isaiah, the ninth chapter, verses 6 and 7. And it reads, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful," glory to God, "Counselor, the mighty God, Emmanuel, God with us, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So this is that prophecy that the angel mentioned to Mary. He mentioned a prophecy to Joseph, and he mentioned one to Mary. But the most important thing is that he told both of them what this child's name would be. Jesus. Jesus. Let's look at that. See, naming a child in biblical tradition, the task of naming a child generally fell to the mother, but could be performed by the father, and in exceptional cases, by non-parental figures. So this baby was named by God through this angel to be called Jesus. And see, naming could be attributed to God, originated through a divine birth announcement. That's what this is. A divine birth announcement. It says naming took place near birth in the Old Testament and on the eighth day, accompanying circumcision in the New Testament. The biblical concept of naming was rooted in the ancient world's understanding that a name expressed essence. A name expressed essence. To know the name of a person was to know that person's total character and nature. Glory to God. Revealing character and destiny, personal names might express hope for the child's future. Changing a name could occur at divine or human initiative, revealing a transformation in character or destiny. For example, God changed Jacob's name to Israel. God changed Abram's name to Abraham. God changed Saul's name to Paul. Because every name has a character, a personality, and a destiny. What was your name? And what is your name? See, all of us have had names that altered the destiny and the purpose for our lives. Mine was Q. Thank God Q is dead. Glory to God. So I wanted to point that out. The naming of Jesus. And so when we look at the character and the purpose and destiny of Jesus, it says that he shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And his father David, meaning that that's his ancestor. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. Of his kingdom there shall be no end. He shall be called the Son of God. Glory to God. And in St. Matthew, the first chapter, 21st verse, it says, he shall save his people from their sins. Thank you, Jesus. But at the end of St. Luke, the passage we just read, it says that I gotta find my place. St. Luke, the first chapter, verse 35. I got so excited with the character and naming of Jesus that I lost my place. But it says in verse 35, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. That's what I wanted to point out. Said he shall be called the Son of God. Now let's turn to St. John, the third chapter. One of the most famous and remembered scriptures. St. John, 3rd chapter, verse 16, and it reads, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Verse 18 says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's what I wanted to point out, that he's the Son of God. Now let's go to 1 John. 1 John, the 5th chapter, starting at verse 5. Believe on the name of the Son of God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 5, and it reads, who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, who is Jesus, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. That's why it says God with us. Verse 8 says, and there are three that bear witness in earth, the spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified his son. Verse 10 says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Verse 13 says, these things have I written unto you. This is the meat that I spoke about earlier. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have a petition that we desired of him. If we ask anything according to his will, this is the confidence that we have in him, because we believe on the name of the Son of God. Let's go to St. John 14th chapter, verse 13. And it reads, let's start at verse 12. St. John 14, verse 12. And it reads, verily, verily, I say unto you, this is Jesus speaking, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. This is Jesus speaking. Now let's turn to St. John, the 16th chapter. St. John 16th chapter and verse 23. And it reads, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Believe on the name of the Son of God. Now let's go back to Philippians. Actually, let's go back to 1 John. 1 John, the third chapter. 1 John, third chapter. Starting at verse 5. And it says, and ye know that he was manifested, talking about Jesus, to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. This is what I wanted to get to. Verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. And what's that purpose? That he might destroy the works of the devil. This is the purpose that the Son of God, Jesus, was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now let's go to Philippians, the second chapter, starting at verse 5. And I'm going to read it this time in the Message Bible. Philippians 2, starting at verse 5. And it says, think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Now listen to this, not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave, became human. Having become human, he stayed human. Says, having become human, he stayed human. Jesus was not a weak man. It took supernatural strength for him to know who he was. But to have the mentality to stay in the natural, to stay a human being, says he didn't claim, it was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death. And the worst kind of death at the crucifixion. A crucifixion. Now, crucifixion, we really have to understand what that is. And I'm going to try to explain it. Lord, give me time. The crucifixion, it was a method that the Romans used. And a person crucified in Jesus' day was first of all scourged. They were beaten because the most painful and degrading form of capital punishment during that time was to be crucified, to be hung on a cross. And they made an open show of it before the people. You hung there until you died. But it wasn't just dying, it was the way that they died. Because a person crucified in Jesus' day was first of all scourged, beaten with a whip consisting of thongs with pieces of metal and bone attached to the end, or at least flogged until the blood flowed. And then they were nailed to the cross through their wrists because the weight of their body could rip their hands apart. And then to speed up the process, they would break their legs so that they couldn't stand up to try to gasp for air. So this was a suffering type of death. But Jesus did that so that he could destroy the work of the devil. That's why we can believe on the name of the Son of God. Victory belongs to Jesus. Now walk in that victory. Walk in the name of Jesus. Walk in who God has called you to be. A son and a daughter of the Most High God. Glory to God. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for what you did, God. And thank you for showing us who we are in Christ Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Talk to you next week, Anointed and Appointed Word Ministry with Brother Norman Woodard. Love you. God bless you.